Man, His presence is sweet in here tonight, isn't it? It's good. Man, it's good. It's good. I'm excited. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Chapter 31. Open up to chapter 31. Hope you brought your Bibles tonight. Hope you brought a pen and a notebook, a journal, something to write with, something to write on. Jeremiah 31, it's in the Old Testament. I should probably get there, huh? It's not good when the preacher's there last. I got tabs on my Bible, though, so I know where to go right away. Jeremiah 31, I don't know what page you're on, but 704? I'm on 645. That probably doesn't help you, but I'm excited. Cool. You ready? Jeremiah's prophesying. He's proclaiming the name of God. We're in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. I'm reading out of the NASB. This is what it says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand, say hand, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Talking about an old covenant. Talking about a new covenant. Right? Talking about a what? A new covenant. We're talking about a new covenant tonight. Continuing in verse 33. I will put my law within them. On their heart, I will write it. If you have a pen, underline that. Underline, I will put my law in them. I will write it on their heart. It didn't only say, let's read that again. I will put my law within them, and on their heart, I will write it. This is the new covenant. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Because He's going to put it on our heart. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and go to Matthew 22. There's going to be a lot of scripture tonight. I'm going to try and read as much as I can right now so that while I'm preaching, I don't have to come back up here and read it again or go back to the Bible. I just want to read some scriptures and just keep an open heart, a receptive heart. Matthew 22, verse 36. This is what it says. Teacher, this is the guy who comes up, a Pharisee, asking him, trying to test Jesus. Verse 36 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, my word says, depend the whole law on the prophets. Yours probably says, hangs the whole law and the prophets. On these two commandments, that I will love the Lord God with all my heart, that I will love the Lord God with all my soul, that I will love the Lord God with all my mind. And the second is, like it, that I will love my neighbor as myself. John 14, favorite book in the Bible. I love John. He's a man of love. John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 15, 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. This is the key scripture of the night. This is the scripture of your life. This should be the scripture that you meditate on day and night. That no greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friend. Lays down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. 1 John 5. I'm kind of being led. I don't really know where this is, but I'm going to go 1 John 5. Read verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Underline, not burdensome. Underline, not burdensome, if it says that in yours. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Paul says in one of the epistles that the ultimate purpose is to love through faith. To love through faith. 1 John also says, 3:16, interesting, that John 3:16 says that, for God so, come on, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. John, 1 John 3:16 says this, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's love. What if we so loved? This is my topic tonight. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. I hope you're taking notes. We take notes. I'm excited. What if we so loved? Man. I don't want to necessarily preach at you tonight. I want to communicate to you the love of God tonight. I want to be the mouth of God, so to say. I've only been a believer for 3 years. And in the past 3 years, God's done something to my heart. He's written something on it. And tonight, I think the Lord wants to read my heart to you. If that makes sense. A lot of times we get too religious and we go crazy and say that it's all about God's heart. Well, it is. And God's just going to read you what he wrote on it tonight. It is God's heart that has been conformed to my heart and my heart to his. And I just want to share with you the love of God tonight and what I've learned and what he's spoken to me. A lot of this just came to me when I was driving down the road. It happens a lot. And so I just want to share my heart tonight. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you so loved us, God. Thank you that you so loved us, Lord. God, thank you that you love us so much. God, I'm asking tonight that your love would manifest through your word, just as it did 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came to the face of the earth. The Bible says that your love, your grace was manifested through your Son. And so tonight, we ask the same thing. 2,000 years later, in 2007, after the resurrection of Christ, we're asking that you would manifest your love, your grace, through the word that is living, that's alive, that's sharper than anything, that cuts through anything, that goes straight to the heart. Just like in the book of Acts, after Peter preached, the Bible says that it went straight to their heart, and they asked, what can we do? Lord, tonight, we're asking that the word would go straight to the heart, and we have a heart of humility, a heart that says, what can I do to give back to the Lord? God, tonight, we're asking your word would go straight to the heart. Go past all the ideologies and idiosyncrasies and all the philosophies and all the temporal things and all the seen things. God, I'm asking you to go beyond that and go right to the heart. God, use me tonight. God, that which you've put on my heart, I pray that not one word that you've put on my heart would go by. But more than that, Lord, I'm asking that which you want to do tonight would be done. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your presence already. We thank you for the transformation you've done already. Continue to do your work. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. Amen. Let it be so. What if we so loved? To be honest, I don't really know how tonight's going to look. It's one of those nights where I feel like God has told me to write some scriptures down, and I think that the best way to give you my heart is to really give you my heart and not to read from paper tonight. Not saying that paper's not good. I'm saying I'm going to keep using that tonight too, but I hope that you receive me as a brother tonight. I'm excited. That's my introduction. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Don't go there. I'm going to read it to you. It says that the conclusion, Solomon wrote this book. He was a man of God. He was King David's son. He's King David's son. He wrote like Proverbs and he wrote Song of Songs. He wrote some good stuff and he fell into some sin and he at the end of his life he was doing some pretty bad stuff. And he writes this book, Ecclesiastes, and it's one of those books that you kind of read and you're like, man, this guy is like, is this guy even a Jew? What is this guy? He doesn't even, the way he writes, it seems like he's just a heathen. It's almost like he's writing in vain, like asking all these questions, like what is all this and what is all this? And his whole purpose of his message is that everything is in vain. And then at the very end of the whole book, he says this in chapter 12, verse 13. You can go there if you like, write it down. It says this, the conclusion, Solomon writing his last words, he says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. If you keep reading, it says, for God will bring into judgment on that day. In other words, God will do what he wants to do eventually. Whether he uses me or another generation down the road, God's going to do something eventually. All he's asked is that we keep his commandments. Those that keep his commandments and abide in him shall be saved. The whole purpose of man, the whole conclusion after all that he said, you can read the book if you want, the whole purpose is that you keep his commandments. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. Is to keep his commandments. That's the whole purpose of man. We get too fixed up on all these other things about what to do and what to say and what not to say and how to do this and how to do that. But the whole purpose of man is to fear God or worship God and keep his commandments. That's it. You want to find your purpose? I just read it to you because this applies to every person. Every person to keep his commandments. In the Old Testament, they couldn't keep his commandments. In the Old Testament, they couldn't help it but to commit adultery, but to make stinking carved images out of their jewelry that was on their rings or on their around their neck or whatever. They couldn't help but to sin. The Bible says in Genesis that the heart of man is deceitful from birth. The heart of man is wicked from birth. The heart of man doesn't desire the word of God. It's sad because we're supposed to desire it. We're supposed to want his word. So today in Christianity, still to this day, people are trying to keep his commandments. And the church trying to keep his commandments and fail and fail and fail. Get so frustrated, people walk out of the faith because they go, this doesn't work. How am I supposed to keep these commandments? How am I supposed to love my neighbor? How am I supposed to honor my father and my mother? How is God going to be my only God? What about Xbox and PlayStation and this sport and that sport? What about my girlfriend? Can't she be up there? What about my boyfriend? Can't he be up there with me? And our whole purpose, we understand that our purpose is to keep the commandments, but we don't know how to do it. We get frustrated. We get flustered. There were a few men in the Old Testament that did keep it. A few great men that did keep his commandments and did great things. And Israel became great, and there were people that came to keep his commandments. But ultimately, they couldn't keep it. And today, still, people can't keep his commandments. People ask questions like, can I watch this movie? am I allowed to do this with my boyfriend? Am I allowed to do this with my girlfriend? Am I allowed to play this game, watch this movie, say this word? Today, a lot of people are asking a lot of hard questions. Is gay marriage okay? Isn't it okay to drink alcohol and get drunk? I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. People are asking a lot of hard questions. Is it okay to go to the bar and just get drunk with people and go home and forgive yourself? I mean, we're not living by the law anymore. We're living by grace. So can I do what I want to do? I mean, isn't that okay? What's okay for me to do? And we go around asking all these questions of what is okay and what can I do and what can't I do and what am I allowed to do? When all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments. This applies to every man. So nobody could keep it. I understood that we were in need. We were in help. We needed something. We needed that, in the old, it was, God took us by the hand. The hand signifies work. It signifies willpower. It signifies power and might and what I can do by my willpower. That's by the hand. By the hand. The Old Testament was external. The Old Testament was what I could do with my works, with my willpower, with what was given to me. Jeremiah prophesies, that was the old. It didn't work by the hand. So days are coming, says the Lord. And by the way, those days are today. Those days were 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross to give us a new covenant, a new law. Days are coming when I will write the law on their heart. Man. You know, I looked up the word heart. You know what the word heart is? The heart, the mind, it's the seat of all desires. That's the things that you want. That's the things that you desire. Where your heart is, what sits on there is your desires. God was smart when He did this. He understood that they have to want this. They have to desire my word. They're not going to keep it. Their willpower won't work. They need something on the inside. The Old Testament was external. The New Testament, the New Covenant, the covenant of love is internal. It's on the heart. Jeremiah prophesies that the Lord will write the law on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. They will all know me because my word is on their hearts. They've hidden it in their hearts. Nobody has to tell everybody else to know God, and you need to know God better. No, because it's on their hearts. Jesus comes along. Pharisees are asking Him questions, testing Him all the time. He always had the right answer. I loved it when He had the right answer. Every single time He just got them nice. They ask Him, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He goes, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws. See, the guy asked him for what's the greatest commandment. He gave him two. On these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that the Old Testament said, everything that they prophesied, everything that came out of their mouth, everything the Old Testament declares, it all comes down to love. It all comes down to loving our God and loving our neighbor. See, when it's not by the hand, then it's by the heart. And when it's by the heart, then I want to do His will. Man, I can't wait to wake up in the morning just to read His word. I can't wait to bless my brother this morning. I can't wait to honor my mom and my dad this morning. If you don't live with your mom or your dad, maybe it's someone else you live with. Maybe it's just your elder in your house. I love it. Why? Because it's on my heart. And now I desire it. See, now the game changes. No longer is it my willpower. Now it's I can't help it because it's written on the seat of my desires. On my heart, His law has been written. Now I can't help but to do His law. Romans, book of Romans, chapter 13. Paul is writing to the Romans. Chapter 13, verses 8 through 13, something like that. He says, for love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. And he goes on to talk about that I won't, don't steal from your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's possessions. You shall not commit adultery with your neighbor. You shall not murder your neighbor. And he goes on again to say that the love fulfills the law. I can't keep it. What do I need? I need love. I need it written on my heart so that I can keep those commandments. Jesus says that these two commandments hang all the law. Galatians 5, Paul says it again. For love fulfills the law. We can't keep it. We need love. I need to love it. I need to so desire it that I can't help but to do His law. Come on. I desire His law. Keep His commandments? What does John say? You ever read that and go, man, I don't know about that. He says, for His commandments are not burdensome. You know what King David says in Psalm chapter 40? He says, I delight in your law, for I've written it on my heart. Where's that at today? Let me ask you something. Aren't we the new covenant today? Aren't we the Church of Christ today? Shouldn't the law be on our hearts and on our mind and on our soul? A lot of us are struggling in a lot of different ways. Probably one of the biggest ones is honoring our father and our mother, whether they're saved or not saved. We need it on our heart. So, okay. So we could walk out of here at 8:40 and go, all right, I'm going to love more. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to honor my father and my mother. I'm going to do it. I'm going to love more. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart. I'm going to do it. Get all worked up and get all excited and maybe for a week after camp we're all excited and kicking our feet because we just kept His commandments. We just did what He'd asked us to do. And then a week goes by and 2 weeks go by and 3 weeks go by and I can't keep that. I mean, it was good when I was excited, when I was feeling good, and when I felt that presence, and at camp, and when they were encouraging me, and all these other things. Yeah, I could do it then. And maybe it burnt in me for about a week, but 3 weeks, 4 weeks, heck. Did you know that 1 Corinthians 13 says that love never fails? Love never fails. Do you know what it also says? Love endures all things. Go ahead and read it sometime. Read what love is. It's not this emotional feeling. What's that song? It's not an emotional feeling. It's not, oh, this feels good. Or, oh, hey, this morning I feel God's presence, so I'm going to keep His commandments. Hey, this morning that person encouraged me, so now I'm going to do what God's called me to because I feel good. Oh, I just won that basketball game, that Xbox game, that my girlfriend just said she loved me. Oh, I'm going to do it now. I can't wait to do it now. We think that love is what the movies tell us. Serendipity. We just happen to meet some girl on the street, some guy on the street, and poof, we're in love. And what completes love is a kiss on the cheek. Oh, now I'm in love. Love in this culture today tells us that it feels good to be in love. This culture tells us that love is going to the bar and finding some girl and making love with her. Is that love? Love in this culture says that, well, I love that person, but, oh, they're just a jerk. And, you know, I love them, but, you know, they're just, oh, I hate that person. But, you know, I love that person, but we use this word love like it's our right hand or our strong hand, like it's just natural. I love this thing. You know, it's interesting that we say things like, I love basketball and I love volleyball. Oh, and I love that teacher. And oh, I love this. And I love, oh, and I love this church. Oh, I love it. Well, you might be right. Because we're going to define love tonight. Love isn't that first kiss. Love isn't the cooties that you feel when you find that special someone. Love is so much less. Don't be fooled. Love is so much less. Don't be mistaken. Love is so much less. Love, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So what's love? What's love got to do with it? So what's love? No greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16. For this we know love. That Christ laid down his life. So we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. Because if we love, 1 John 2 verse 3, for if we keep God's commandments, then the love of God has been perfected or matured in us. Love, don't be mistaken, it's so much more than those cooties that you feel. It's so much more that it's so much less. God spoke to me. Long story. But he said that the road to so much more, oh, it's so much less. It's so much less. Least is the greatest. The greatest is the least. This is love. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for his brethren. Laid down his life for the world. This is love. The greatest commandment is love. What's the greatest love? To lay down your life. How do we know love? To lay down our life. What's love really look like? To die. What's the new covenant really look like? I don't know. Why don't you ask Stephen, the guy who was martyred for his faith? Why don't you ask Peter and Paul? Why don't you ask John? Why don't you ask these guys, men of faith, who so loved God, they gave up their lives? 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Wow. That's love. Love anymore? It's not this feeling. I got this. I just can't wait to love God. I can't wait to do good to my neighbor. To do a good deed. You know, we get too caught up in trying to do good. We get too caught up in trying not to do bad. Question to you is not, can I do this or can I do that? Am I allowed to do this or am I allowed to do that? Hey, can I do this with my girlfriend? Hey, can I do this with my boyfriend? Am I allowed to touch here or touch? Can I watch this? Can I play this video game? Hey, is a rated R movie okay? What about this movie? Well, my parents aren't saved. Well, my pastor never encourages me. They won't let me on the worship band right now. They say I gotta get built up in character. What's character? Love. It's not can I or can't I. You're asking the wrong question. Some of you have come to me personally and said, hey, what do you think about this movie? Hey, what do you think about, what am I allowed to do with my girlfriend? I mean, is this okay? I mean, what about this? You're asking the wrong question. I got a question you can ask yourself. And next time you ask me, this is what I'll tell you. How much do you love? What if we so love the Lord? What would it look like? What if I so love my brother and my sister? What if I so love my family, my mishpoka? What would it look like? No greater love than this, than one lays down his life for his brethren. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes to Corinth a second time. The first time he gave them all these instructions of what to do and what not to do and how to perform a service and how to perform a worship service and how to prophesy and how not to prophesy and this and that. And they wrote back kind of like, who do you think you are? I presume, because if you read 2 Corinthians, you get the idea that, man, they must have been like, dude, who are you? Because over and over again, he goes, do I have to prove who I am? Man, I thought you loved me. I thought we were cool. I thought that we were just like tight, man. Paul was dealing with the same thing. They're like, man, what is all these laws and restrictions and what is all this stuff? 2 Corinthians 5:14. In the NASB, it says, for the love of Christ constrains us. It constrains us. Constrained isn't a very friendly word. Constrained isn't a hug from your girlfriend, from your boyfriend, and a kiss. Not that kind of constrained. But actually, it's kind of like being incarcerated. I just looked it up like an hour ago. It means to be like incarcerated. It means to be like bound by something. Man, what if God wrote the law on my heart? What if God wrote the law on your heart? The new law is the law of love. That now I delight in His Word. Now His law isn't burdensome. It's actually delightful. I can't wait to honor my mom this morning, even if I don't feel like it. Man, if I so love God, it'd look a lot different than what it looks like right now. Man, I'd worship as hard as I could. Not because I have to, but because His law is written on my heart, the seat of all desires. His law is written so much on my heart that that's all I can do is love. If the love of Christ compels us, it constrains us. Then that means the law of love on our heart constrains us. And if the law of love on our heart constrains us, then that means that we only live by the law of love that is on our heart. And if it constrains us, that means that we don't live according to those other things, according to our selfish desires, like Mariah was just talking about, but we live by the Spirit, because the new law isn't written on stone, it's written on a heart of flesh. Ezekiel says, he says, you have a hard heart. You need a heart of flesh so I can write my law on it. You know why Jesus came? He came to give you a new heart. You ever read that scripture about the wineskins and the new wine? Jesus was saying that the old wineskin doesn't work anymore. You need a new wineskin. You need a new heart, because the old heart, it's dead, it's beat up. You don't desire my law. I can't give you new wine. I can't give you the new covenant of love on the old heart, because I can't really write my new law on your old heart, because it's too hard. God gives grace to the humble. The law of love, it hurts. I think that it hurts to have a law written on a heart of flesh. Did you know that when Jesus died, that rocks broke in half? I mean, right after he died, the Bible says that the veil tore in two because now I can enter the presence of God. Now that the presence of God is free to me. Now I'm free to live for Him. I'm free to love. Because that presence, that word, that law, that truth can come to my heart. It's not constrained by one priest, by one pastor. It's not contained by a veil, but now it's loose to do the work of God. It says the earth shook, and then it says the rocks split in half. Rocks broke. You want me to tell you what happened? Hard hearts began to break. And you know what happened right after that? People rose from the dead because they had a new heart. People came alive and started preaching the gospel. People came alive and started walking through the city because they came alive because the hard hearts broke. It's not written on a tablet anymore. It's written on a heart. It's not written on the old thing. It's not written on the old wineskin. It's on the new wineskin. It's the law of love. Because I died so that I can live. You know that Jesus, right before he died, he drank sour wine? Because before you get that new wine, you need the sour wine. Before you get the new law, you need to die. You know what Paul says in Galatians 2:20? He says, "For I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me." What does that mean? I think we're getting an idea of it tonight. I think what he's saying is that his law is living through me. Acts chapter 4, 19 through 21. These guys are, Peter and John, are talking to the Pharisees and the religious people and the people of the law. And they're communicating back and forth. And they told them, "Don't speak of the name of Jesus anymore." And do you know what they said? They said, "I can't help it." Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out onto the heart. It touched the heart. The law was written on the heart. "And now I delight in your law, O God. It's not a burden to me. Because I got that new wineskin." You can't keep the law because you don't got a new wineskin. You don't have a new heart. You don't got a new heart of flesh. You know the only way that the heart can break? It's if you die. It's when you die. It's when you humble yourself. It's when you lay down your life for your brethren. That's when a new heart can come. God gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, when we get a new heart, He gives us grace. He writes His law on our heart. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. You know the story of Jacob and Rachel? Genesis 29. It says that for Jacob loved Sarah so much, Rachel so much, that he said this. Read it. I think it's 29:16 or 18. It says that I'm going to serve. Doesn't matter what he said after that. All that matters is that because he loved her so much, he said, "I'm going to serve because I love." Love fulfills the law. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet your neighbor's possessions. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. You're not going to hate your neighbor in your heart. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to dishonor your father and your mother. Man, if you love God, He's going to be the only one you worship so much. The reason why you can't keep the law is because you don't have the law written on your heart. And the only way to get the law written on your heart is when you lay down your life for your brethren. Because now I'm constrained by the law of love. You ask me, can I do this or can I do that? I don't know. You might want to ask yourself, how in love am I? No, more than that, how much am I willing to die? Driving on the road one day, and this is where this message birthed from, the Lord spoke to me and He said, he who loves much dies much. And he who dies much, he loves much. Love isn't measured by a feeling, by an emotion. Love is measured by death. Come on, is somebody hearing me tonight? I don't know if you quite heard me, but love is measured by death. How much do you love the Lord? How much do you die? How much do you love the Lord? I don't know how much of that Xbox time do you cut out of your life. How much of that computer time? How much of that fantasizing time? How much of that time do you spend on the phone instead of spending in the Word of God? How much of that time are you dying to yourself? That's how much you love God. You want to measure your love tonight. It's ask yourself, how much do I die? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He so loved us, He said, I have to die for Him. Not lead Him by the hand, but lead Him by the heart. I think there's a communication thing that happened between the Father and the Son when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm not saying this is law and that this exactly happened, but I'm telling you that I was in my personal time with the Lord. I was preparing for this message, and God, I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke this to me very clearly. I feel like this is what He said. He said, there's a communication between the Father, and I just want you to listen to this. There was a communication between the Father and the Son. This is what happened. Jesus was on His knees praying. It could have even been before Jesus came. And I think this is kind of like what happened. I think Jesus said, Father, so I'm going to go die now, right? Yeah. So we're going to be separated? I mean, my title won't be the same anymore. I mean, now that I'm here on earth, I'm just a man. You're God in the form of a man. Second Philippians says that Jesus gave up His title. You want to know love? Give up your title. Don't boast about your works. Die to your title so that others can live. And so Jesus says, but Father, is it going to hurt? I mean, is it going to hurt? Is this going to hurt? The Father said, yeah. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. The Bible says that Jesus bled blood. His sweat was blood. I think this is why. Jesus says, Father, how much is it going to hurt? How much is this going to hurt? I mean, how bad is it really going to hurt? I think the Father said, as much as you love. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. As much as you love, that's as much as it's going to hurt. You want to know how much you need to die? You ask yourself, Gabriel, how much of this stuff do I need to give up in my life? I mean, Xboxes and PlayStations and computers and, I mean, they're not that bad. I mean, how much do I have to stop playing? I mean, take an hour off? I mean, you know, how much am I allowed to do with my boyfriend, with my girlfriend? Yeah. How much time do I need to spend with the Lord? How early do I need to get up in the morning? How hard do I need to worship God? How much do I need to read His Word? Hey, that means I can't watch rated R movies anymore? I mean, what am I allowed to do? How much do I need to give up? Is it going to hurt? got an answer for you tonight. Holy Spirit has an answer for you tonight. It's going to hurt as much as you love. As much as you're willing to give up is as much as you love. As much as you're willing to die is as much as the law that Him, the hand of God, the right hand of the Father, will write the law of love on your heart. Love isn't measured by this or that. It's measured by death. It's the law of love. What if we so loved? It would hurt so good. Man. It would hurt so good. Man, Andrew prophesied a week or two ago. He said that it's going to hurt. You want to be a new warrior? It's going to hurt. Hey, what's your motivation? That's my key tonight. Some of you in here, you already got the new heart. You already got the new wineskin. But tonight, I want you to ask yourself, how much do you love? And the Holy Spirit will be going to speak to you and say, well, I told you to give this up and you didn't. I told you to break up with this person and you didn't. I told you to wash those dishes, but it wasn't my turn to do those dishes. How much do you love? Because the amount that you're willing to love is the amount that you will die. Your love is measured by your death. You want that love on your heart? You want to be constrained just by the Word of God? Just by love that is written on your heart? No greater love than this, than one lays down for his friends. You want to love much? You got to die much. If you want to love a little, you got to die a lot. But if you want to love a lot, you got to die. What's your motivation to be a preacher? What's your motivation to be the mouth of God? What's your motivation to teach? What's your motivation to come here tonight? What was your motivation? If it wasn't love, you need to get right. For the love of Christ constrains us. Man. I need to grow in love. You ask me, I want to so love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. How do I do that? The law has to be written all over your heart. The law has to be written all over your soul. And the law has to be written all over your mind. And the only way is to die. What if we so loved? So hurt. It would so hurt. It would hurt so good. God so loved the world. Let's so love the world, church. Stand up on your feet with me, please. This is the conclusion, that you keep the law. But I can't keep it. How do I keep it? Well, that law has to be written on your heart. How do I get that on my heart? You gotta die. Because he who dies much, loves much. I gotta ask you a question tonight. We got things we got to do. There's things we have to do right now. There is people dying right now. There's a world that is so lost, they need somebody to so love. And for them to so love, they gotta so die. I'm not gonna do an altar call. But the truth is, my only question would be, who needs to grow in love? Come up here. I'm not going to do that because there's not one person standing here that can't grow in love. There's not one person in here that can't die more. So tonight is between you and the Father. And the conversation might look a little like this. Father, how much is it going to hurt? And He's going to say, son, daughter, as much as you want to love. Because he who loves much dies much. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to love. There's one God, there's one Creator, there's one Lord over all the earth. And all He's asked me to do is to love. I need it written on my heart. This get with the Lord. This is a time for you to get intimate with the Lord. Stop getting distracted by your brother, your sister. Even if your motivation here tonight was to be seen by men. Even if your motivation here tonight was to be heard by people or to be looked at. To be felt, to be held, to be loved, to be hugged. Even if that was your motivation, just repent and get right and say, Lord, I want my motivation to be love. Hey, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Then tend my lamb. Hey, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Then feed my lamb. Why? Because I've called you to do it. Because he who loves much dies much. Don't go fishing anymore. You're not a fish, you're a fish. You're a fisher of men, Peter. I told you from the beginning, die to these things. Not for anything else, but because of love. But because love fulfills the law. Jesus is asking you tonight, hey son, hey daughter, how much do you want to die? Hey, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this girlfriend, more than this boyfriend? Do you love me more than this game, more than this movie, more than that drink, more than that word, that language that we want to use? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than your mouth? Do you love me more than your heart? How much do you love me, son? Daughter? Now's the time to lay down our life for the Lord so that we can lay down our life for the brethren. God's going to do something to you tonight. Only if you humble yourself. There's things in here right now. There's people in here right now that don't even know the Lord. But I'm not specifically speaking to you. I'm speaking to those who have conviction of things that they want too much. And right now what's going through your mind is, man, I'd probably give that up. Let me tell you something. That's probably the Lord. And you need to consider some question right here. You need to consider this question. How much are you willing to die? And I guess I could keep going on and on and saying the same thing over again. But now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. God gives grace to the humble today. God will write the law on the heart of His children today. So I will no longer have to do His will, but I will want to do His will because I'm constrained by the law of love. Tonight, it's just you and God. You and Abba Father. Face to face, ask yourself, Father, I want to love. How much do you want me to give up? Mighty God, tonight, Lord, we want to hear your heartbeat. God, tonight, as those who humble themselves, I'm asking that you are on their heart. And I'm asking that those who die for you tonight, they give up things for you tonight. Then humble themselves tonight. That you will write the law on their heart. God, you're just looking for someone to humble themselves. The day is coming, Lord, when you will come and judge this earth. You're just waiting for a generation to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God.
so that he can write the law in their heart. And then now they obey. Now they want to do your will, Lord. This is what you want. You're just waiting for somebody to humble themselves. So tonight, I ask the Lord over this place. God, I'm asking that you would take the Spirit, your Spirit, by your hand, not by ink, not on a stone, but on a heart by your Spirit. Just begin to call onto his name. If you got to get away, get away. If you got to repent, repent. If you got to forgive somebody, forgive somebody. But somebody, let God write his law on your heart. Mighty God, right now, I'm asking that your grace would fall in this place. I'm asking that your Spirit would write the law of love on the heart of men. And God, that their hearts of flesh are willing to die so that they can live. There's some of you in here tonight. You say, I've been crucified with Christ. But in Galatians 5:24, it says that those who are crucified with Christ crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. There's a crucifixion that's going on tonight. Jesus says, now is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. You know what happened? He was crucified. Tonight, there are men and women of God who need to crucify themselves to the cross with their passions and desires so that they can so love. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Grace like me, Father, fall right now, Lord. Write the law on the humbled heart. Write the law on those who die. Write the law on those who die. You have to drink the sour wine before you have the new wine. You have to have a heart of flesh before you get the new wine. How much are you willing to die? Pour out your Spirit.